On January 1st, 2022, A.A. Milne's Winnie the Pooh and Felix Salten's Bambi, A Life in the Woods entered public domain, allowing anyone to use them creatively. Reese Frake Waterfield, a director and co-founder of Jagged Edge Productions, decided to make two beloved characters from Milne's books, Pooh and Piglet, and turn them into a slasher villain, spawning Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. The movie, though having a small budget and receiving backlash from fans of the Disney adaptation of the books, grossed $7.7 million U.S. worldwide, warranting a sequel. With the sequel, Blood and Honey 2, came the announcement of more childhood characters being turned into horror villains, leading up to an MCU-like team-up called the Pooniverse, where every villain will meet. Today, we dive into the two movies that started the Pooniverse and what this twisted universe has in store for the future on this episode of the Petrified Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
And today we are talking about Blood, Honey, the Pooniverse, everything that has to do with this franchise, man. A lot of hate for these movies, a lot of love for these movies. It's kind of divided between the middle from what we've seen.
Yes.
But before we get started, make sure you follow us on Instagram. The link will be in the description of this episode. Please rate, review us anywhere you can, anywhere that lets you. And let's get started on Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, and the Pooniverse. So, the first movie, or the second one mainly, it's kind of like the Evil Dead franchise. You got the second one, or the first one, of course, that was kind of like a, let's see what this will do. And then the second one kind of doing a revamp of the first version. First one came out, 2023?
Yep.
And came out with a lot of negative reviews. Now, mind you, before we get into this,
these are not Disney movies.
Yeah. The original books are not, has nothing to do with Disney until later on when Disney, you know, pretty much bought the rights to these characters and the stories and decided to do their adaptations. They only have the rights to their version of these characters. So, like, the obviously the yellow and red Winnie the Pooh, the Piglet, and all that that they own, they're pretty much illustrations of, is what they own. And, of course, all their stories that they made and all the stuff that came afterwards until now. But they do not own the original books, especially anymore now that it's out in.
Yeah, they no longer wanted to pay royalties as of September of 2021. So they essentially ceased all connection and all payments that went back to the Milne family.
Yeah.
So they pay absolutely nothing. They're done. It's over with. I understand if you enjoy the Disney movies.
Yeah.
I did at one point in my life, but
yeah, we all grew up with them at some point.
Yeah, but, you know, like all things that have kind of been co-opted by Disney, we have to realize that this is not a Disney-based story.
Yeah, none of these characters are in this Pooniverse.
No, Walt created none of them.
No, just Mickey Mouse. That's all. He gets credit for that. I'll give him that one.
He gets credit for Mortimer because...
Oh, yeah, Mortimer Mouse, yes.
Mickey Mouse, having worked for Disney for years, it was Mortimer. And, you know, he can have his little, you know, moment in the sun and that. And
but, yeah, the first one is pretty much... So, Christopher Robin, who we all know, from the, whether it's the stories or from the Disney ones that you know of, he finally grows up and goes to college and... With that, Winnie the Pooh and all the other creatures from the Hundred Acre Woods feel abandoned by him.
They are abandoned
by him. Well, technically, yes, they are abandoned by him.
He was, in the first one, it's presented as though he was bringing them sustenance.
Yeah, pretty much.
He was coming to visit and play, and he would bring them food. And when Christopher decided that, you know, it was time for him to move on and grow up, he left.
Yeah.
The Hundred Acre Wood, and he left behind his childhood friends.
And a harsh winter came.
Yep. And so they were left all alone, and due to the fact that they were animals,
yeah,
they were domesticated. They didn't know how to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they were expecting Christopher to come back. He didn't come back. They had no food. And so things took a darker turn.
And they ate Eeyore.
And
because they ate one of their own, it kind of made them revert back to their animal instincts and go more savage and started pretty much wanting to take out revenge on Christopher Robin for abandoning them. So when Christopher Robin comes back from college and he wants to revisit the Hundred Acre Woods, he finds that he does not get a warm welcome. Winnie the Pooh and Piglet end up killing this, I guess it's a sorority of girls. He pretty much kills all of them. They terrorize them, and then when he gets captured by them, or Christopher Robin first gets captured by Pooh.
Yeah.
And he's chained up. And then you get introduced to these kind of sorority girls that end up being massacred.
Yeah, they go to like this Airbnb.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, it was like a vacation.
It was like a girls' weekend. And they go to this Airbnb.
Yeah.
And if you watch the first one, what I loved about it, which I saw it a couple times in the theater, is the way that if you literally watch it from a point of view, you can see that there's no damage being done to this house at all. Because this movie is like trying to save budget so much.
Yeah.
That they rented the house. Piglet attacks one of the girls in a pool with a chain.
Yeah.
And the chain actually, when he goes to hit her with a chain, it floats.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't use a real chain.
Yeah, you don't want to damage the pool.
Yeah, you don't want to damage the coping on a pool. That's an expensive, you know.
Yeah.
It's an expensive prospect. So, yeah. They went through and they, you know, they cut corners wherever they could. You could tell that it was, you know, although it was, you know, minor on the budget, I think they produced a good quality product.
Yeah. I mean, the masks were kind of uncanny. I mean, but that's what you get with the budget that you have. You have to kind of use anything you can.
Yeah.
Mind you, I mean, this movie, it's campy. There's some things that you notice. You're like, oh, that they made a mistake there. But with a low budget, you know, film production, it's what's expected. It's the delivery that you have to look forward to and actually do your best on. But yeah, so they start killing these sorority girls. One of them gets captured and taken to where Christopher Robin is, and he's chained up, and is he covered in honey?
He's covered in something. Whether it's honey or not, I don't know. Might have just been bear drool.
Something like that. Yeah. But yeah, the honey plays a huge part in it. There's also a redneck guy for some reason in the UK, because I'm pretty sure this is set. Obviously it is filmed in the UK, but for some random reason, there's a redneck.
A redneck?
there's several of them, but like, it's so weird because, okay, you get the British accent, you get all this, right? And then out of nowhere, you just get this hard redneck, American redneck accent, and it's like, it's just weird. It's just off-putting.
Yeah. There was that piece. To me, that's one thing that I can say. Critiquing the film, the one thing that kind of disassociated itself with me in the first one was the gas station.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Yeah, there's this gas station, like, garage, and there's, like, four guys, and there's one girl, and this girl ends up being, you know, it's apparently at one point she was Piglet's girlfriend.
Yeah.
They say that it was Piglet. And Piglet used to beat the hell out of her. And I'm just like,
oh, that's wow. Right. Yeah, that's right. They find the girl.
Yeah, they find that the woman. And she's like, oh, yeah, well, my boyfriend Piglet, and he used to beat me. And you're like, what? Okay. And they never really, you know, they never really did revisit that to kind of, you know, to kind of explain what was going on there.
Yeah, that's right. When they go back to, so after Christopher Robin gets captured, they go back to these girls stumble upon the Hundred Acre, I guess, playhouse, because there's like a trailer, there's an Airbnb, whatever it is, and they find Piglet chained up, and he's being punished.
Yeah.
And so
he's on Piglet timeout.
Yeah, he's on Piglet timeout. And so His girlfriend decides to free him, I believe.
Yeah.
He decides to free him, and he ends up just killing them anyways. So it was like, what was the point of it? He's not going to stop just because you freed him.
Yeah. If
anything, he's going to be more pissed off. So, yeah, this movie was all over the place, but it did have good things in it. You have finally, after they kill all the sorority girls in you know, slasher fashion, you have the very end where Christopher's trying to get away, one of the girls trying to get away. The redneck shows up again with his pickup truck and confronts Winnie the Pooh. But, of course, he gets messed up by Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, all of them. There was another point that kind of disconnected for me on the first one. Was Pooh had like this supernatural control over the bees?
Oh, the bees, man! But
and he gets I understand the honey, and he could send the bees after people, and so he like attacked one of the redneck dudes.
Yeah, with the bees,
with a swarm of bees. I think I saw a Wu-Tang T-shirt in there. I'm just telling you.
Yeah,
like, it was a little off-putting. Like I'm gonna say that was one point that I found to be kind of cheesy.
Yeah, it's campy.
Yeah. You know, but overall, I think, you know, Christopher Robin in the end does escape, and it kind of leaves you wondering, well, is there going to be a part two?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was made on such a shoestring budget. It didn't have a lot going for it.
Yeah.
Here in the States, I think it only played for 3 days.
Yeah, it only played for 3 days in the theaters.
Yeah, it was not like, it was not a very long-lived movie in the theater.
Yeah.
And so I kind of got the feeling, you know, are they going to make another? Well, lo and behold, a year later, they come through and they deliver part two.
Yeah.
Now, the great part about part two, and I think we can both agree on this,
is
part two came into play, and part two made the first one look super cheesy because it was almost like a made-for-TV movie parody of the accounts of what happened to Christopher Robin in the 100 Acre Wood.
Yeah.
So now you find Christopher Robin, and of course, he's grown up, he's graduated from university, and now he's practicing medicine.
Yeah.
But due to the fact that all these horrific things happened in the 100 Acre Wood, he has gone back and told the city about it, and they are now kind of ostracizing him because, I mean, come on, if you like literally, like you came and told me that there were, you know, there's a pig man and a bear man. That you played with when you were a little kid.
Yeah.
And now they're like attacking.
They killed a bunch of people and you're the only one who made it out alive.
Yeah, but I just happened to be there through the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, then, yeah, you know, it leaves a lot to question as to whether or not Christopher Robin had more of a hand to play in what had happened.
Yeah.
So you usher into the first one. And once again, lo and behold, we have three young ladies and they're on their, you know, Girls weekend, girls relaxation trip.
Yeah, they're
and they're in their little camper with their little Polaris all done up with Christmas lights, and they got a damn kayak or some boat thing. It's got 100,000 lights on it, and they're all, you know, of course, you know, they're on a trip. So they have like the most obscure wood satanic freaking Ouija board.
Oh yeah, that's
in,
right.
In the middle of the camp, and they're you know, they're going at it, and of course, you know, that just, you know, not literally, but it summons Pooh.
Yeah.
You've got strangers trespassing in the 100 Acre Wood. You know you're supposed to stay out.
Yeah.
So, you know, Pig and Pooh, Piglet and Pooh.
No, Owl and Pooh.
Piglet. Piglet was in the first attack.
Was he?
Owl was there too, yes. Because this movie actually introduces a couple other characters.
Yeah, you got Owl.
You've got Owl. And you've got Tigger.
Because Tigger became public domain.
That's right.
A year later.
And it was Owl because, remember, Owl, that's when you get Owl's first catch line.
Yeah, you get to, which I think, I mean, all the prosthetics and the makeup and stuff and all that was done. The effects were done really, really well in this movie. I enjoyed the making them more kind of realistic. Whereas, like I said, I understand the first one, you know, you have to, you know, work with what you got. But this one, they were like, okay, he took the money and you put it into production. And that's what I loved about it. You didn't just take the money and run. No, you took it and you put it, invested into this movie that obviously you care about. So that's what I love about it. It's like, you could see.
Yeah, you could see where there's passion. Yeah.
And of course, there's a storyline now. You have an actual storyline. They had what's his name from who wrote the is it Matt Leslie? I think his name. I believe that's his name. He wrote the for he was the writer for Summer of 84. If you've ever seen that.
Yeah, I do believe that was his name. I don't have it in my notes, to be honest.
Yeah, I believe that's who they got to write it. So you could tell, like, there's more of a slasher kind of, you know, premise to this one. Whereas the first one, it was a slasher movie, but it still had that kind of more cheesier feel to it. Where this one, there's a cheesiness to it, but it's more well-written.
Yeah.
You know, you're invested into the characters, and they're introduced really well. Yeah, you have the kill scene with Pooh where he sticks the pipe or whatever it is through the girl's neck straight through the RV. Tipping over the RV, showing his strength, tipping over the RV. One of the girls tries to get away in the little Polaris, but of course she runs over a bear trap that Pooh set. And so he goes over there and she steps on the bear trap trying to get away. And he takes her, drags her, breaks every limb.
Absolutely.
Which was really well done. He breaks her arm and her arm sticking all straight up.
Well, what I like about this kill scene, my favorite part about this kill scene is Pooh seems almost merciful because in the trailer getting tipped over and everything, obviously, I guess one of the propane tanks exploded. And so there's a huge fire and one of the girls gets burned horribly and she escapes.
Yeah.
So she swims across this like little dirty moat pond and gets out to the other side where now Owl is essentially going through and kind of tease baiting her.
Yeah.
And she's looking back on her friend and Pooh like, he's snapping every limb. And then he goes and he grabs the bear trap that he laid out as a trap. And he opens the bear trap and puts, like, her face by it. He didn't shove her head into the bear trap. He gave her the choice to off herself. Which I thought was really cool.
You think so? I mean, he drops her head on there.
He drops her head, but she, like, literally could have, like, lifted it.
True.
And it seemed like she just gave up and she was just like, I'm done. So she like slams her head into it. And
yeah, you're in so much pain. I mean, you have every limb broken. It's over by that point.
And then we focus on the burn victim. And then, you know, there's Owl's first introduction to, you know, basic, you know, Owl. And he gives you this amazing line.
Yeah, which is, who's the abomination now? And it wasn't making a pun, but that would have been good.
Yeah.
Who's making an abomination now? But yeah, so you get introduced. Obviously, you see that these characters are now being, you know, the townsfolk know about them now. Whether they believe them, the townsfolk believe Christopher Robin or not. There are some people that do love him. But we get introduced to Christopher Robin, who is played by Scott Chambers. And pretty much, yeah, he's just being, yeah, ridiculed. You get introduced to his parents, who do believe him. You just pretty much see, like, you know, and get introduced to his friends.
Yeah, he's got a close-knit group of friends. Yeah,
and who believe him as well. Unfortunately, when he gets dropped off at his house, Christopher Robin gets dropped off at his house, his dad is trying to scrub paint off the car because someone wrote murderer on Christopher Robin's car.
And if you didn't know this, you can clean spray paint with hot water.
Yeah, he's just soap and water.
Let me just tell you, you cannot clean spray paint with soap and water.
Yeah, he's trying to scrub it off with soap and water. Yeah. So yeah, you're going to see that the family's going through a lot. They do believe Christopher Robin. Oh, but before that, you get introduced to the therapy session that Christopher Robin is going through because he's trying to remember who kidnapped his brother.
Yeah, they lead back to a root cause to, you know, beyond what happened in 100 Acre Woods, they lead back to what is the root cause, and it kind of introduces you to the fact that Christopher Robin had a brother.
Yeah.
And so they go through and he is now in therapy seeking answers for what plagues him in life.
Yeah.
So he's in therapy and he's talking, and as he goes to leave, that's when you get introduced to his friend, I think it was Lexi. Lexi is like his kind of love interest, kind of a deal. So they go through and she gives him a ride home reluctantly because he doesn't really want to be with her because he doesn't want to involve her in all the stuff that's going on in his life.
Yeah.
Because everyone has ostracized him, counted him out as a murderer, and so he's done. So she finally convinces him and gives him a ride back to his house. So she gives him a ride back to his house, and then when they arrive at the house, that's when his car's been vandalized. His friend's like, hey, I came to drop your car off. It's an amazing car, by the way. Like, I am just letting you know, like, it's a great car. I like the car. And I'm not a car person. And so his dad's out there with soap and water cleaning off the murder graffiti.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kind of mention and they kind of delve into the fact of Lexi is trying to get Christopher Robin to go out to a rave.
Yeah.
That one of their friends are having. Because she's going to be babysitting. She's babysitting a young boy named Freddy that night.
Yeah, but Christopher Robin needs to get out.
He needs to get out and kind of spread his wings.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
But yeah, pretty much go out and get out there. And we kind of get to the point of we get to Chris Robin going to the rave or going to the introduction of the rave, kind of the girl who's hosting it. And they're pretty much like making fun of him, like doing like stabbing motions behind his back, like, you know, which he does catch. He sees it. But they're kind of just talking about how the party's going to go, what they're going to do, the things that are going to be there, and the people that are going to be there. And she literally asks Christopher Robin, you know, are you going to be here? Like, you know, or no, she asked Lexi.
Yeah.
If Christopher Robin was going to come, and he overhears it, and he's like, you know what? I won't come.
Yeah,
like,
I won't come. I just won't make it uncomfortable because he's already, you know, socially awkward.
Yeah. Well, she's like, oh, it's my first rave and I don't want it to get ruined. Like, dude, what an ass. Like,
yeah,
you just don't. She goes, oh, I believe you, but other people don't. And I don't want, well, if you believe them, dude, you just let them come to the rave. Like,
on top of that, it's a rave. And when you see the rave in its context, I mean, that I've been to some raves. Now, there's a lot of cosplay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you could definitely be incognito. I mean,
yeah,
look at Daft Punk. I mean, they've been doing this for years. Like, nobody knows really technically, for the most part, who they are.
Yeah.
So he could have gone, you know, incognito.
He could have gone incognito.
He didn't have to go as Christopher Robin.
She could have just told him, like, look, I don't mind you being here, but, you know, with everything that's going on, like, you know, put a mask on, like something, or get a poo mask.
Yeah, or, you know, just hang out in the DJ booth, there were ways to obviously be more couth about, you know, him coming, but
yeah,
she just was not feeling it. She didn't want him to go.
Yes. Then we cut to the 100 Acre Woods, the burnt area of the 100, what it looks like, the burnt area, because they were burning down the forest to find these animals, because some people did believe him. We get introduced to these three guys who are hunting them because, well, one of the girls from the first scene was the girlfriend to the one of the guys here who is hunting him because, you know, he killed the girlfriend, or they killed the girlfriend. So they're going through the woods looking for him, and they run into Piglet, who tells them that, you know, we're coming for you now. Like, y'all were trying to hunt us, but now
We're turning the tables.
We're going after y'all now. And they blow his head off.
Now that's something I got to touch on this. Now, no, I did like the Piglet in the first
one. Yes.
It was played well, but it seemed kind of insincere to me. But yeah. But I understand why. Like, it was supposed to be like a parody. But Eddie McKenzie, who plays the Piglet in this movie,
yeah,
just the mannerisms, like the way he played the part, it was great. And then, like, automatically, like, jump, like, 35 seconds into his appearance.
Yeah.
I'm ready for Piglet, you know? I'm, like, ready for
something. Yeah, you get invested in Piglet.
Yeah. I mean, the first one, like, I mean, he's there, arm in arm.
Yeah, but they don't talk that much in the first one either, so.
They don't, but, like, they're buddies. It's like a buddy cop movie, you know? It's like, dude, you just shot Kevin Hart. Dude. So, they just blow his head off, and I'm like, dude, Piglet, you had so much potential. I was there for you. I'm hoping Eddie McKenzie comes back because, yeah, people, there's going to be a third one.
Yes.
So I'm just, you know.
Oh, there's a whole lot coming,
man. I'm super hopeful that he comes back And we get to see the true potential that he could have brought this
character. Oh, dude, yeah, because just seeing that little piece, even from when they're in the hideout in Owl's house, like, you could tell, like, okay, he's like, dude, this dude's infested in this character. Like, this is great. Like, it's what we wanted. And what we wanted, not a lot of people wanted it, but I loved it, man. I thought his performance was great. And for him to be blown
off. Yeah, I mean, 35 seconds in, he gets blown away.
Yeah.
So then, obviously, you know, once your boy gets blasted.
Yeah, Pooh comes out.
Owl, and, you know.
Jams
a shotgun right through his head.
Yeah, stick one of the guy's head. Owl comes out, and it's just like pure mayhem. They blow the face off of one dude. He doesn't die. Like, dude, that's got to be crazy. So he gets rushed in to the hospital, the guy who gets his face blown off by Pooh. And Chris Robin, obviously working at, you know, the hospital, well, he's having a conversation with the doctor, and the doctor tells him that, look, you're a good nurse.
Yeah.
But because of the whole...
Much like the rave, you've got to go. you are not allowed to go.
Yeah, you are not allowed to. Yeah. You're not allowed to be here because of everything that's going on, everything surrounding you. So he's like, all right. But when that happens, the guy who gets his face blown off is rushed in, and he's like, oh, I know this guy. Like, I know who he is. You know, he goes in there and pretty much is like, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. Like, oh, they found him like just like this, you know, this morning he was stumbling on the road. And so they're working on him. Now, finally, when he's all repaired, and I guess if that's what you want to call it.
To a point. I mean, when, you know, they stitched him up. And,
yeah,
you know,
they didn't really have a lot to work with. He refused skin grafts, remember?
Yeah, they mangled his face. I mean, obviously, you get hit with the shotgun in the face, things are going
to
happen.
Yeah, so Christopher Robin goes in and to, you know, figure out, you know, what's going on, like, what happened to this dude. And he pretty much writes, because he can't talk, he writes down, you were right. And that, you know, they did that to him. So he unbandages himself and shows his whole mangled face. And Christopher Robin, as he's reading that, he sees this janitor staring at them, at both of them through the window. So after that, he does one more therapy session. Remember, he almost sees the guy's face that took his brother.
Oh, yeah.
And he lets his family know, like, hey, like I know, like, I can remember all this part except for the dude's face.
Like, the face is blurry. Like, he remembers a white van, and he kind of recounts it to his dad because Christopher Robin was there when his brother got kidnapped.
Yeah.
It was like a children's sleepover party.
Yeah, it was like a party, yeah.
And so they were all having a sleepover party, and at that time, there had been several children gone missing.
Yeah.
And so this van kind of rolls up just on the outskirts of, like, you know, the shrubbery outside the garden wall. And this van rolls up, and Christopher Robin kind of chases his brother over to the wall. Well, then the van opens up, obviously, and this person ushers his brother in and closes the door and kidnaps his brother.
Yeah.
So that's what's, you know, that's what's vexing Christopher Robin.
Yeah.
He needs to know essentially what happened to his brother.
Yeah. And he does research on it, on this, you know, the disappearances and all that are going on. And then cut to, again, he's talking to the dude who got his face blown off. He sees the janitor looking at them all weird. So he decides to follow the janitor home. And when he goes in there, he starts hearing the dude kind of listen to the radio, like he's trying to listen to, like, the police.
Yeah, he's listening to the police scanners.
Yeah, police scanners, yeah. And all that. And he confronts him. He's like, you know, why did you, you know, take my brother? Why did you kidnap him? This and that. And he finally reveals to him, like, oh, I knew you were going to finally find me one day. But he reveals that, you know, he actually kidnapped the kids to give them to a mad scientist to pay off his gambling debts. He didn't really care what happened to the kids. He was just trying to
pay off his debts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he found out that the scientist was actually performing, like, genetic experiments on these kids to combine them with animal DNA. And it worked. But when he realized what the doctor was doing, he decided to confront him and follow him to this pretty much grave site that the doctor assassinated these kids, executed these kids. And because he feared, you know, they were getting too animalistic.
Yeah, they were abominations.
Yeah.
They were turning on him like Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, pretty much. And so he kills them. And the janitor, seeing that, he kills the doctor. And so, you know, he wanted to give the kids a proper burial. He didn't want them to, you know, to be just murdered like that. So he buries them. But when he comes back again to the graves,
the graves are empty.
Yeah, they're empty because they
dun, dun, dun.
They reemerged, they reanimated, they came back to life and became more animalistic this time. And so telling them all that, he pretty much reveals that, you know, it's revealed that Pooh is Christopher Robin's brother that was taken. That's what happened to his brother. He was experimented on, and he became what we now know as Pooh.
Billy became Pooh.
Yes, Billy became Pooh. So, Billy became Pooh. And the janitor, feeling guilty, shameful, but now, you know, since he's let go this way.
Yeah, Cavendish decides to basically, you know, like, release the mortal coil. And yes. So he pulls out the gun that he killed the doctor with, and, you know,
he unalives himself pretty much in front of Christopher Robin. So while this is going on, Lexi, who's babysitting, who this kid who has a Freddy Krueger sweater on, and the
which just so happens his name's Freddy, which
yes,
is kind
his
of
name
like,
is Freddy. Is yes,
he's got a Freddy Krueger sweater and a claw. And he's got a Jason Voorhees mask.
Yes, and the machete too.
Yeah,
or is it a knife? It's one of those.
It's a knife.
Yeah, it's a knife.
Yeah,
and on the TV, what's playing? But the first movie,
the TV parody of Winnie the Pooh.
So pretty much. In this movie, in the second movie, the first movie is a telling of what happened to Christopher Robin in the second movie. Of this Christopher Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be like, oh, this was just a retelling of what this Christopher
It's like
Robin
Unsolved
said.
Mysteries.
Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
Like it's a reenactment.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Because Pooh says on the TV, it's pooing time.
Yeah.
So, it's just ridiculous. But the real Pooh comes and confronts them. Of course, they're hiding under a blanket trying to stay hidden. They pull out a little RC car that has a camera, a GoPro on it, to see who the hell broke
in. Okay, so here's something that just got to me by watching the movies. So, one of the characters that we didn't touch on is Bunny, Christopher's little sister.
Oh, yeah.
Who, when he goes back home and his car is painted, he goes up and Christopher and Bunny's mother have let her into his brother Billy's room.
Yeah.
And she grabs this teddy bear that's like some, you know, I know it's copyrighted, but like some Fuggler looking doll.
Yeah.
Right? It's got like human teeth and it's really weird.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there. It has a lower intestine sticking out of it.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there playing with it. And Christopher's kind of, you know, he's kind of hurt because he's like, who let you go into Billy's room? Who told you you could go touch Billy's things? Da-da-da. She says, you know, well, Mom said I could do it. So it goes forth and, you know, he talks to her and he gets her downstairs to eat breakfast. Where that comes into context is Freddy has this RC remote control car with like a GoPro on it.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the GoPro RC car, it also has teeth. And it also has, like, human hair and, like, eyes. So it's, like, anthropomorphically correct. Like, it's almost like they're using body part pieces. And I don't know where that leads. Perhaps if somebody else has seen the movies and they have, you know, drop us a comment, drop us a line, let us know how they tie together, because I couldn't find anything on it. I just noticed it. I was like, wow, that's really weird because this kid has teeth on his monster truck. And
that's what it is. It's a monster truck,
yeah,
man.
It's a monster truck. Wah, wah, wah. But yeah, so I don't know if
I never noticed that.
It's totally off the point, but you know, if anybody can answer that, it's something that kind of plagued me, you know, revisiting and doing notes for this movie. It's something that was never answered. It's something that no matter what forums I go into, I can't find any comments on it.
Yeah, I never noticed that until you brought it up. That's wild. I couldn't even pay attention. I didn't even pay attention to that part.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has the RC car to go check on Pooh, and Pooh sees it and he crushes it. And then we go on a rampage now. He's going to trying to kill them. And her grandpa,
who's law enforcement.
He's law enforcement. He's checking on another kill that happens that Al does the same time, where he kills Christopher Robin's other friend, breaks into his house. Which, by the way, this whole scene is wild to me because the dude is showering, right? With AirPods in.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if anybody else does. I don't do that. I'm just going to take in a Bluetooth speaker and I'll turn on a podcast or music or whatever. I'm not showering with my AirPods on. I mean, if anybody does that, let us know, because I've never seen that happen. So he's showering with AirPods on, and someone breaks into his house.
But here's the part that gets me. He hears something.
But he has AirPods on.
But literally, he has AirPods on. He hears something, but he doesn't stop rocking. No matter what, he like pauses for a minute. He's like, "Hey, wait a minute, you hear something?" And then he like exits the shower, and he's just like, "Oh, okay. Well, I'm not going to investigate the house. I'm not going to look around because obviously, I guess I just thought I heard something."
Yeah, he's.
And so, you know, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Maybe it's just that bass. So he leaves, and he comes out, and he's walking around, and then he's like, "Let me go like get a breath of fresh air."
No, he sees that somebody has broken in and
he sees the doors open.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he goes to go out the door, and lo and behold, the owl scene. And this is one of my favorite scenes of the whole movie. First of all, Owl is one of my favorite characters out of the whole movie. But then when you go into the fact that Owl essentially is there and he pins him down on the ground.
Yeah.
And he's holding him, and you just get to see how like how much better the makeup has gotten in this one,
yeah,
as compared to the first one, because he's sitting on top of him, and then Owl, you know, in a scene that's, you know, very reminiscent to me of The Fly, like regurgitates
acid
onto his face, and I was just like, that is Jeff Goldblum in The Fly,
yes,
that is 100% like an homage. I'm there for it. And so, you know, I know a lot of people were like, "Oh, it's goofy and it's this and it's that," but
it is if it was towards The Fly.
I mean, dude,
there's no other way.
Yeah,
you get animal and human hybrid. The fly is literally insect human hybrid.
Yeah,
yeah, that's totally it. So the grandpa goes to investigate this one. They find out, you know, it's Christopher Robin's friend, and so he calls his granddaughter, who's babysitting, or his grandson, try to call them to see if they're you know, what's going on, if they're all right, if they're fine. Nobody answers the phone, so he sends a squad over there to check on them. That's when they find Lexi and Freddy running out of the house and saying, like, he's in there, like, that freaking bear thing is in there. So one of the cops goes to go investigate, and this is why they need weapons, man, and over there in the UK. Because she goes in there and she finds Pooh, and Pooh immediately, you know, overpowers her, rips off her arm,
yep,
and Gears of War style beats her with it and then sticks it straight through her chest. So,
yep,
they go to check on her and they find her dead in there. And Christopher Robin calls Lexi, and pretty much tells her, like, you know, it's his brother, like, this is what's going on. And Lexi lets him know that his friend is dead, his other friend is dead. There's a whole emotional scene, and they're trying to find Bunny because, you know, Bunny is missing. They don't know where she went.
Because
Pooh went to the house. Yeah,
Pooh went to the house, essentially, and dispatched, pleasantly speaking, he dispatched Christopher Robin's mother and father.
Yes.
So now the hunt for Bunny is on, because obviously everybody's becoming self-aware.
Yeah.
Christopher Robin is realizing what's really happened. He's realizing, you know, the origin of, you know, Billy being Pooh. And so now both Billy and Christopher are coming, you know, into the light as being the characters that they are. So obviously now the hunt is Billy's going to go after the family member. He's going to go after Bunny.
Yeah. And then we get to the rave, finally.
Yes.
We get to the... where we are now introduced... Well, first we get introduced to Tigger at Al's house.
In his cage.
In this cage.
Yes.
Yeah, he... the cops go to... They finally find the house. But, of course, they're not there except for Tigger. Because, you know, one of the cops sees all the massacre and everything that's going on. He's like, let's bounce. Tigger comes in and says, that's my line.
That's my line.
And kills them. And then we get to the rave scene, which is probably one of the best sequences this whole movie has. Yes,
it definitely, it was the cherry on top of the sundae for this
Al,
movie.
Al, Pooh, and Tigger are at this rave now, and Al tells Pooh and Tigger, like, just go nuts. Like, this is, you know.
This is our kind of scene. Yes. Yeah.
So they go and... Pooh's first kill is literally him throwing a bear trap on a girl's head and ripping it off. And it just kill after kill after just a slaughter. A dude jumps into furnace.
Like a blast furnace.
Furnace to hide from Pooh.
And if you're ever running and you're hiding in a blast furnace, let me just tell you, okay? Drop your Dayglow bracelet. Because I don't understand. He's climbing in there, and I'm like, I can clearly see this dude's bracelet lighting up, illuminating the darkness. I want to hide someplace where it's dark.
Yeah.
But this guy climbs into this, like, brick oven.
Pretty much.
And he's got this Dayglow bracelet on. Man, that's not... Pooh's not going for that.
Yeah, so Pooh sees
him. Cranks it up to 10K. Charles Royal.
Blast him, yeah.
But here's the great part about that. This dude, he was what, like $175? I mean, he was not a big dude.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Pooh. I'm talking about the guy in the blast furnace. So he hops in there, and so Pooh cranks it up to 10K. Fire kicks on. This dude starts pounding on the window. Now, you got to think of how thick this glass has to be to resist this high of a temperature. This little meek man breaks the glass because you see the glass shatter.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It shatters.
I'm like, really? Like, but yeah, you know, it was what it was. Maybe, you know, maybe the adrenaline kicked in.
Maybe
he got the superhuman, you know, Dayglow bracelet. I don't know. Mitch.
And then Pooh finds a chainsaw and just starts.
Oh man, dips it in like fire.
Well, that's at the end.
Yeah, he had a fire chainsaw. It was.
Yeah, dude, he chainsaws everybody. Then you get to Tigger, and Tigger is.
Tigger's cat and mousing everybody.
Everybody, man. He slashes people up. There's a heftier girl on this metal stairway, and he's like toying with her by trying to slash her feet.
Yeah, he's like cutting up through the grates, like, and he, you could tell he's toying. He's like sticking one claw up in, and she's like almost like dancing.
Yeah, she's not like running off. She's just like,
yeah,
as an idiot, she's not even running off. And so she falls, she stumbles and falls, and her chain, because this is a rave, and she's wearing a collar and a chain, and he pulls it down, and then he just goes to town on her after that.
Then he finds a little angel.
He
finds an angel with angel wings, and he tears her up, and you know, blood and feathers everywhere.
And then he finds a fluorescent bitch.
That's his quote. That's his quote from the movie. He's like, oh, fluorescent bitch.
Come here, you fluorescent bitch. Yeah. That's like the best part in that too. And then he's like slashing this girl who's like just crawling. She's blinded because he took out her eyes.
Yeah.
And he's cat and mouse.
He's toying with her. He's
toying with his food.
Yeah, there's this open grate that has a ladder that leads down to the lower levels.
She can't see it, obviously.
She can't see it because her eyes are clawed out, and he's behind her. And he just keeps nudging her slowly so that she thinks that perhaps there's a chance that she can get away.
Yeah.
But secretly, he's just guiding her because, like, it's an overhead shot. And you can see her just moving forward towards, you know, this hole.
Yeah.
And eventually she finds the hole and.
Yep.
And
yep,
she is done for.
She breaks her neck, breaks everything, and she dies. And then Christopher Robin finally shows up after all the massacre is done.
Everybody convenes at the rave. That's, you know, in case of an emergency, I always show up at the first rave.
So he confronts Tigger first, because that's who's there. And he shoots Tigger. Doesn't kill him, but wounds him.
Yeah.
And Tigger runs off. And then finally he confronts Pooh, and they have a whole chase through the woods. He chases him with the chainsaw. And then he tries to slash. He finds this pretty much the place where they were first buried when they were kids. And he hides in this abandoned car, and Pooh tries a chainsaw through it, and it lights it on fire. That's where we get the flaming chainsaw. That
flaming chainsaw.
Yeah, which is over the top, but it was great. I get it. It was pretty cool to see. So they have this whole battle. Finally, Christopher's finally confronting Pooh. Pooh is finally confronting somebody who he feels abandoned.
Pooh's dealing with all kinds of demons because he's looking over at the grave site from when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And he's you know, coming to terms with the fact that, you know, he was once a child. And you can see it in his face. He's dealing with stuff. He's dealing with the fact of where he is.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's on sacred ground.
Yeah.
So.
And Christopher, too, is now dealing with, well, you know, this was his brother at one point, but now it's not. So you have a decision to make, you know. It's like you either don't kill him because he's your brother, or he was once your brother, or you do kill him because he is no longer your brother anymore. He's something else. And so Lexi comes in and distracts Pooh, and with that he takes an axe,
whack,
and hits him right in the head.
Cracks him in half like a cantaloupe.
Yep, and this final Pooh's final line before he dies is, "Oh, bother."
Yep.
Yeah, so the movie was, it was camp. And Bunny actually was hiding. She was hiding in the house. Christopher Robin just didn't see her because he just saw that she was missing, took off. But they do find her. Pooh didn't have her. Nobody had her. She was just well hidden because she was smart. But finally, you know, he gets Bunny back. Him and Lexi are now... a unit.
Yeah, the relationship is solidified.
Yeah, even though everybody is dead now.
Yeah.
It's like a whole massacre. But now they do believe Christopher Robin, because clearly there's evidence.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, there's so much going on. Like, these, you know, these animals ran over everything. It's, you know.
Yeah. But we cut to back at Owl's house, and you see all of the characters. You know, Tigger's wounded. Piglet has his head blown off, and
Pooh is split in half.
The only one left is Owl, the puppet master himself. So what does he do? We get reintroduced to the honey, and it's used as a healing. It's pretty much healing them and keeping them alive. We don't know where the properties come from of this honey. You know, we don't know where the magic comes from. But yeah, the honey is used to heal. Them, and so,
well, honey does have, you know, have those, you know, regenerative purposes. It's, you know, it heals humans.
True. So it's so, but it heals them at a faster rate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, when my head gets chopped in half,
gets your arm cut off.
Yeah,
you're just gonna Resident Evil like he does when he gets his crap cut off. And it's a tease to a third movie. Because they're going to come back to life. And hopefully we get introduced to more characters. We know we are going to get introduced to other outside of this.
Absolutely, realm. Because in the scene when Christopher Robin is looking up, essentially to kind of find out who Cavendish is and doing the studying on the doctor.
Yeah.
There's all these references through the microfiche that, you know, there's a wild, crazed deer.
Yeah, there's a zombie deer.
Zombie deer.
A psychopath. What was it? A crazed puppet or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was a crazed puppet. Yeah.
I think that's what it was. And then, someone who's kidnapping
kids. Yeah, someone who's kidnapping the children.
Yeah, another person who's kidnapping kids. Yeah, so you get introduced to pretty much what's going to be coming up next in the Pooniverse.
Yes.
I can say. So, yeah, we have, there's so much now. because we have, we are now introduced to Bambi the Reckoning, Peter Pan, Neverland Nightmare, and Pinocchio Unstrung. These are the movies that are going to lead up to the Pooniverse. They were supposed to come out this year in October. Unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Got delayed a little bit.
But got delayed. I'm hoping that's because, you know, they've upped the production.
February 2025, we're supposed to get Bambi the Reckoning.
That's the first one?
Yeah.
And then Peter Pan.
Peter Pan.
Neverland Nightmare. I'm truly excited. Because if you look at the teaser, the trailers, it looks like the production is much higher now. Like, it, like there's more invested into this thing because now obviously they're...
Well, they're also getting like more, the more you're looking into it, like this last week, it was shown that obviously, you know, Robert Englund.
Yeah, Robert Englund is going to be... originally
played Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
He is going to be, you know, Cricket.
Yeah, and Peter Pan.
You know.
Oh, and Pinocchio.
Pinocchio.
And Pinocchio Unstrung.
So, I mean, the you know, the top notch, they're getting like high caliber actors and actresses that yeah. they're starting to reveal as little teasers.
Yeah.
So
what it looks like right now is Pinocchio Unstrung has the most production into it. Of course, we're going to get Bambi the Reckoning. But you don't, I mean, you have like major actors in Pinocchio Unstrung. You have, you know, Richard Brake.
Yeah.
Who's from, you know, Three from Hell, 31. He was in, you know, what, Halloween? There's the Rob Zombie, you know, Rob Zombie's Halloween. He was in so much. And of course, you have Robert Englund. You also have Todd Masters, who, if y'all don't know, he was the effects artist in Child's Play and Underworld Awakening. And he also did Slither. So, yeah, there's major production in Pinocchio.
Yeah, there. Pinocchio seems to be the most like high budget one that's coming out.
Oh yeah, and they finally released photos and little videos of the Pinocchio puppet, and dude, it looks sick.
Yeah.
So, I know people were upset with the introduction, of course, with Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, and the you know announcement of you know there being a Bambi. Peter Pan and Pinocchio and all that. The Mad Hatter also going to be introduced into this. But again, these aren't like I understand where people are coming from. They're thinking of the Disney adaptation of these characters. But these aren't Disney characters. Like Disney obviously has their rights to their illustrated characters, their stories and all that. But these aren't Disney characters. Again, I'm seeing a lot of comments that are like, oh, you know, that you know, Disney should step in. You know, how come Disney's not doing it? Well, these aren't Disney characters.
Yeah. And I mean, and you also have to take everything in context as far as it goes with that. It's, while I understand, you know, a lot of people look at things as though, that's my childhood. You know, that's, you know.
Yeah.
I remember Peter Pan. I remember Winnie the Pooh. And this is not the Winnie the Pooh that I remember. Just a perfect reference for me. I was born in the 70s. I can look at Star Wars. Star Wars came out, you know, when I was a young child. I saw most of the movies in the theater. I saw Return of the Jedi pretty much on the day it premiered.
Yeah.
The new genre of Disney released stuff that they have co-opted from Lucas is nothing compared to the George Lucas stories that I grew up with. In fact, Disney has distanced itself so much to go on record and not to go into a diatribe, but and say that everything Star Wars now is no longer has to be canon.
Yeah.
Like that Star Wars has no canon. So Disney can do it to everybody, but nobody can do it to something that is presumed, and which would be incorrect, to presume that these are Disney characters. They're not. Disney didn't acquire anything from Winnie the Pooh, from Milne, until 1961.
Yeah.
And, you know, the original story came out in 1924.
Yeah.
So you're almost 40 years too late to, you know, basically go through and say, well, this is, you know, this. And like I said, I can understand, you know, things in childhood. I wish things could remain, you know, as you know,
yeah.
Rose-colored glasses is everything I remember in my childhood.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we do get older. Things do get taken in directions that we might not agree with. But that doesn't mean it's necessarily a bad direction. It's just not a direction we've taken it.
Yeah. But this, I enjoy, man. I like this. You know, I grew up with the original Winnie the Pooh that Disney, you know, released. And I do like this kind of way that they're going, this twisted childhood kind of take on things. I might not agree with all the other productions that are coming out. You know, you have the Mousetrap, you have the Screamboat Willie, you have Popeye.
Popeye got released here in the past week and a half. Yeah, you know, but it, I like seeing both sides of the mirror. I like being able to see how things can be taken in a different direction. It's just like, you know, the whole thing with, I draw this comparison quite frequently. As you look at Batman, certain people look at Batman and Batman is your hero. He's, you know, he's your all together, you know, put together, you know, tragic story of a child left alone and forced, you know, to be raised by his butler, Alfred. But then you can also look at it at like people come from the Joker standpoint. This guy is impoverished. This guy is from a crime ridden background, all this. And that like the society's norms had basically punished and persecuted him. Yep. And so perhaps Batman's the villain and the Joker. And we do this in everything. I mean, people have done this in Star Wars that, you know, perhaps Luke Skywalker was a bad guy. Darth Vader was a good guy. People do this. I mean, you have to see both sides of everything.
Yeah.
You have to be open to things. And, you know, that's one thing. Horror is up for interpretation. All film, all art is up for interpretation. You know, cinema is still art. And so, you know, the fact that we want to, you know, pigeonhole particular stories into how we want them to be, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever going to meet our expectations on every standard.
True.
So, I mean, I understand. The one thing that I found kind of, you know, strange in doing, obviously, the background for this film was it seems like horror fans are split, like, right down the middle on this one.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, 60-40 split. It's like 50-50. 50% of the people don't like it, 50% of the people do like it.
Yeah. The only thing is, like, it's the ratings are horrible for this movie, especially, I mean, Blood and Honey 2. And I get, like I said, I get where they're coming from to an extent. Because some of them are just like, oh, it's stupid. Like, it's, you know, there's no good plot. There's no blah, blah, blah. And it's like, again, if you want... There's movies out there for everyone. I'm not going to give this a bad review just because I didn't. It's not my movie. You know, it's like some people strictly like action, just like adventure movies, romance, whatever it is. If you like horror movies, if for somebody who says, you know, I love horror movies, then you have to kind of, like you said, you have to see both sides. You have to kind of take in everything what it is. It's like somebody who likes music. Even though I don't like, you know, certain genres out there, especially newer music, I'm still going to try to take in, like, okay, you know, some stuff is not for me, some stuff.
Hey, give it a try. You don't lock yourself out.
Yeah, to completely dismiss it and be like, oh, it's so stupid what they're doing. Well, you know, if it's not for you, just don't mean, you know, you need to give it a bad rating. It's, you know... It's just not for you. But you can go into it and watching it, especially, okay, a good example would be like our first episode with Tarot. I went into it expecting a great movie. Was unfortunately disappointed, but I also gave points that I did like and then points I didn't like about it and what could have done better. What could have been better about it? I'm not going to completely dismiss it as a whole and be like, nope, 2 out of 5 star or 2 out of 10 stars. Completely trash. No, I probably would have given it like a 4.5 out of, you know, 10. But I think the arguments that are going on right now, it's kind of like, it's so dumb because they're taking childhood characters. And I understand that. Again, I like the kind of new things that are coming out. I mean, there's so many remakes that are coming out. It's good to see something fresh like this.
Absolutely. And that's all across the board. That's all genres of film right now. We're just, everything, you know, when I was a kid is back out again in a new form.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we're going to do this. What I like about it is that literally they put their, like you commented earlier, they put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if, you know, I can put you down at something that you're doing. I can say like, hey, you know, you're not the best at what you do. But when you go through and you have, you know, the moxie to say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to take everything that I make off of it and I'm going to build it bigger and better. And the fact that they took their money, they went out and they made part two. They made part two a huge, huge difference between part one.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're going through and they're saying, hey, we're not only going to do that, but we're going to take the money from part two and we're going to go and we're going to make this. We're going to do Bambi the Reckoning. We're going to do, you know, the Pan movie. Yeah. We're going to do Pinocchio. We're going to do this. And we're building a flipping, you know, Pooniverse.
Pooniverse,
like,
yeah.
We are going, like we're not just, you know, we're not, like, just releasing one diss track. We're going to give you, like, a full, like, you know, a full, like, 90 minutes of burners.
Yeah, this
just
is all, making, yeah,
you know.
This is all 36 chambers,
right? Absolutely. Because they ain't like us. Just understand that. It's, like, that's what I like about it. Like, you know, they, you know, they take your criticism and they understand it. But they're not going to let it affect their life. Yeah. They're not going to let it affect their momentum. They're going to keep going. And these movies are going to come out regardless or not. And that's what I think is great about it too, is that a lot of the movies that are coming out now that are really pushing the limit, in my opinion at least, they are coming from out of the United States. Yeah. There are a lot of production companies, okay, Street Trash, which we reviewed last week.
Yeah, South Africa.
They're coming out of South Africa. They're coming straight out of Cape Town. They're coming in with minimal budgets, and they're competing. Now, no, are they making this like Terrifier 3 money? No, they're not.
But also, too, is like when you see that, and a lot of people criticize Terrifier 3 for just being gore porn, but it's like, dude, it's something new. It's something different.
Yeah.
You know, instead of getting the same remakes or the same kind of BS that kind of Hollywood is, you know, kind of just kind of throwing out there, you know, kind of really just kind of dumping, honestly. It's good to see, even though it might not be everybody's taste, it's good to see something different. You know, you're getting something new. You're getting something that's pushing the boundaries, that's kind of going across the line. It's like saying, you know, hey, you know, we don't care about your feelings or we don't care about this and that, you know, and it's going out there. And the reason people are eating it up and people are loving it and they're making a lot of money on these people is because it's what people want. It's something different. And I think that's what I like about the whole, this whole, you know, Pooniverse thing. It's something different. Yeah, it might be silly, it might be campy, it might be wacky, it's whatever. But obviously they're dedicated to it. There's production in this. You know, they're not just kind of doing a throwaway story in this. No, they're actually putting soul, heart, everything in this. And I'm invested.
Yeah.
I want to see what comes.
I'm there every time. I mean, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. We were right there opening night.
Oh yeah, opening night. Nobody in the theater.
Nope. There were like it was us, a couple of close friends from job. My son was there with us, and that was it. You know, it was kind of sad that was the turnout, but literally opening night, we were there.
Yeah, just watching it, taking in everything, and it was great, man. I loved it, and I can't wait till these new movies come out. I'm gonna be there again opening night. We'll be there.
We will be there.
And we'll be there to review it, and we hope people will show some support. I understand if you don't like it because of the Disney adaptations of the original stories, but at least give it a shot. Just give it a shot. You just let your mind loose, let go. It's not something to, you know, these movies aren't going to make you think or anything like that. They're just kind of there to...
Well, certain ones might. I mean, in all honesty, like the...
Peter Pan one, yes.
I mean, it kind of touches on the base... That, you know, if you watched the last movie that we reviewed, Street Trash, Chef, one of the main characters, continuously references what, you know, it's almost like he's giving you a nod into the Pooniverse because he's talking about Peter Pan and how Peter Pan essentially is a creeper who comes through your window, steals kids, and takes them away. And then, you know, Pinocchio and Geppetto's like, building a wooden boy.
Yes, played by Richard Brakeman. That's going to be wild.
Because he can't have a child. He doesn't have a child of his own because he doesn't have a wife.
Yeah.
And so he just builds a boy out of wood whose nose grows. You could really, like, if you got a good imagination. Yeah.
Well, the original Pinocchio story, it was about him, like, playing pranks, and like there's, it like ends with him like being like hung and burned and killed.
Yeah, he's a trickster.
Yeah, he's a trickster. Yeah. So like,
but see, we've gotten away from, you know, I mean, we could go on for hours.
Yeah, but... well, it's like Cinderella, the original Cinderella from the Grimm's Fairy Tales. It's, you know, like the one of the sisters.
Broken feet and just crushing their feet up, cutting their toes off to fit into the glass slipper. Yeah. Like they're like cutting their, I mean, fairy tales are not like all, you know,
they were
sugar plums and, you know, cinnamon rolls or whatever the heck you think it is. It's not.
I know there were blood and honey. They were not blood. No, but yeah, the original fairy tales, man, are darker, are much darker than kind of what Disney obviously made. Obviously, they wanted to make it friendly for kids, and I understand that.
Yeah, Disney did a great thing. It built a family friendly, but, you know, it's not canon. Like
it doesn't have to be canon because obviously we get a new Mufasa. There's a whole bunch of that crap going out. But this, it's new. It's silly.
It's fresh.
It's fresh. That's what it is. Yeah, it's
a great idea, and it's got, I mean, the energy that they're putting into it, it's hard to not be contagious.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, to me, I'm on board. You throw the movie out there, I'm going to go see it. That's how it is. You know.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, Bambi the Reckoning coming out, February 7th of next year?
Yep, 2025.
So we're almost there. We'll get there. And then right after it, on the 24th, same month, is Peter Pan.
Yep.
Neverland Nightmare. And then Bambi is supposed to be farther along the way, either later that year or probably next year, or the year after.
Yep, and Pinocchio. And I think it's 2026 we get the new Winnie the Pooh.
Blood Honey 3. And then we get the Pooniverse.
That will usher us right into the Pooniverse.
Yeah. And we're supposed to get introduced to a bunch of characters, actually. You get in, you know. Obviously, we'll get Peter Pan, Tinkerbell, or from what it looks like, Stinkerbell. No, but Tinkerbell, who supposedly in Peter Pan is on heroin, and she calls it pixie dust.
Yep.
So we have that. It's gonna be wild. Yeah, we're gonna get introduced to all those characters in Bambi. I don't know what we're gonna get introduced to there. I don't know if there's gonna be.
I think that's just an angry like rabbit. I think it's like Cocaine Bear without the cocaine.
Yeah,
without the bear.
Yeah. Is there gonna be a Thumper? Is there gonna be the skunk? You know, I forgot the skunk's name.
Dude, I'm just waiting for the Huffalumps.
Oh, dude, the Huffalumps and Woozles?
Dude, the Huffalumps and Woozles. I mean, you've got them living on the outskirts of the 100-acre wood.
Oh, man.
Nobody's even brought that up yet. So if you go through and coin that, I mean, I'll be there for some
Huffalumps. I wonder what those are going to be, man. Because they're supposed to be like the scariest things in the 100-acre woods.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you take into consideration that if we're going via the books, Pooh and all the others were scared of the Huffalumps.
Yeah, the Huffalumps and Woozles.
So... who knows what's coming out of those woods? Maybe they will usher us.
All I know is Pooh needs his gun from the car. If we're gonna go based off of the illustrations, he's gotta have the gun. He's gotta have the rifle.
If we're going off to illustrations, he's stuck in a hole trying to get his honey with his little Pooh Bear butt hanging out with a little shirt tail.
And we need to get Rabbit, man. Rabbit.
I think Rabbit's coming in the next one.
I hope so.
And I think Roo.
Oh, Roo and Kanga and Roo. Oh,
you've got to get both of them. So we don't know, but that's a great part about this.
There's so much potential.
There's so much. There's so many avenues you can go down. I'm just in for the ride.
I'm ready for that's it, man. And of course, we're gonna do episodes on all these movies when they come out. We hope you enjoy them at least. You know, check them out. I mean, if you already like them, let us know. Follow us on Instagram and just comment.
And if you don't like something, just let us know what you don't like. You know, you can always drop and say, "Hey, I liked this, but I didn't like this." And you know, it's an open forum. Like we're here to share our love for the genre. So just let us know. You know, get at us. You can hit us up on Instagram. You can obviously get at us, leave us a message, and just say, "Hey, you know, I didn't care for the movie. Glad you cared for the movie. Enjoy it. It's garbage."
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
You feel like. Yeah. But we hope you love this episode. And maybe it nudges you to kind of support them. And if not, hey, thank you so much for listening at least.
Absolutely.
You know, we appreciate it. Yeah. Follow us on Instagram, Podcast Petrified 24. leave us a review and a comment anywhere that you can. I know Spotify, you can comment now. Leave us 5 stars if you enjoy this episode. Other than that, guys, this was Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, and the Pooniverse to come.
And I'm sure it's not the last episode we'll have on the Pooniverse.
Oh, no, this won't be the last one. But thank you so much for listening, guys. We will see you next week.